Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
All right. Good morning. Welcome in. The Out of Bounds Show is brought to you by Kinetic Staffing. You know, we talk about recruiting all the time. We talk about recruiting a good bit with our next guest. And adding talent to your roster. That's what Kinetic Staffing can do for your technology firm, your CPA firm, your law firm. That's right. You're looking for the best of the best. KineticStaffing.com. Executive search firm and long-term staffing powered by Kinetic Staffing. They've done searches in Phoenix, Atlanta, the West Coast, Jackson, Dallas, and everywhere in between. KineticStaffing.com. Executive recruiting, technology, CPA, law. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Show is also presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Mississippi. It's good to be Blue, the official healthcare provider of the Out of Bounds Show. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Mississippi. We welcome in our friend with ESPN. He covers college football. He is Tom Luganville. Lugs, what your best 40 time in college?
4.7-ish, somewhere around there. I actually could run pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I could actually run pretty good. I was a pretty good little athlete. In fact, probably one of the reasons why I didn't get heavily recruited coming out of high school, I was undersized. I played in the Delaware wing T offense. I started at quarterback, but throughout the game, I would move to running back, wide receiver, and I returned kicks. So I didn't play quarterback full time, but even if I had, in that offense, I mean, you're lucky to attempt 5 to 7 passes a game.
We had a coach at my school that that ran the wing T. Unbelievable.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty. It is a thing of beauty. It is the ultimate talent deficit neutralizer. A little bit like the air raid, a little bit like triple option wishbone. But the Delaware wing T, if you are outmanned athletically, that is the offense, particularly at the high school level that you go to.
All right, describe it to our listeners, like how it's run.
So everything is based upon angle blocks, down blocks, leveraging defenders. You're trying to avoid at all costs having to play one-on-one, having to block man-to-man, having to block zone concepts. So you have a lot of backfield action, meaning that they're what I would call eye candy or window dressing. You have a select, very specific set of formations that you run a ton of different things out of. But there's always going to be some cross motion. There's always going to be two backs in the backfield, one going opposite of the other. You're usually going to have a quarterback who's going to play under center at all times. He's got to be the ultimate ball handler. And then what you're going to do is you're going to block down, you're going to kick out, you're going to run pin and pull. If you talk to Gus Malzahn, if you talk to Hugh Freeze, and a lot of these guys that are running, Chad Morris, all these guys that were running this stuff, every one of them have a staple run play in their offense called the buck sweep. And the buck sweep is from the Tubby Raymond Delaware wing tee, and it has lived throughout college football. Still has a role. Like, when you see it, it's undeniable. And so there's a lot of history to the wing tee, and it's got a lot of real positives. But if you're at the, let's just say, the private school level, or you are at the high school level, and your player pool maybe isn't what it would be in some other areas.
Yeah.
Again, it's the ultimate neutralizer.
Wow. So you played, and this was in San Diego, right?
Yep, Torrey Pines High School.
Torrey Pines. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Tony Hawk and John Lynch went there. Well, John was a senior when I was a freshman.
Lynch was a senior when you were a freshman?
Yeah. John Lynch was one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks in the state of California coming out his senior year. He breaks his ankle in the first half of the first game of his senior year.
Doesn't play
another snap. Goes to Stanford, spends the first 2.5 years playing quarterback before he moved to safety, and now the rest is history.
My gosh, he's a Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner, and general manager of the San Francisco 49ers.
He was also drafted in baseball. He was a really, really good baseball player.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He's unbelievable.
Okay. Tom Luganville on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. He went to Torrey Pines High School in San Diego.
Look at all these little nuggets I'm throwing your way today.
Tony Hawk. What was the age? I remember Tony Hawk when I was growing up. You and I are the same. Yeah. He was just now he's parlayed all this stuff into video games, and I mean, he's everything else. Merch. And
he's way older than you and I are, though. He's at least 10 years old. Yeah, I think he's 61 or 62.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
And
all right.
So he was way before me. But you're right. Like, the whole skateboarding phase of the 80s probably would say the early 90s. And if you notice, like, all of those guys kind of dissolved and disappeared, and you never heard from them again. But Tony Hawk must have had some type of business vision, because he has outlasted everybody and turned everything he ever created with a skateboard under his feet into a multi-million dollar business in some other avenue. I mean, he must be remarkably brilliant from a business acumen standpoint.
No question. I mean, Tony Hawk is a legend as an entrepreneur. Did you go to Did you go to Chargers games as a kid?
Oh, yeah. So I was a ball boy for the San Diego Chargers from 1991, 92, and 93. So my dad was the head coach at San Diego State at the time, and I was finishing my senior year in high school, or going into my senior year in high school. That was my first year as a ball boy on the sidelines, and then my freshman and sophomore year in junior college, because I went to junior college there locally in San Diego as well. So I would go to the San Diego State games on Saturday nights, and then the next morning drive back down to Jack Murphy Stadium and was a ball boy for the Chargers. And that time, Bo, was so special. Because when you consider who the players in the league were at their prime in the early 90s, so like the guys I was seeing from the sideline view would have been Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Bernie Kosar.
Jim Kelly,
yep, all of these dudes. Trying to think of who I'm missing. Jim Everett at the Rams. Seattle would have been Dave Craig
Aikman.
At that time. Aikman, and he was just getting started. But we rarely saw NFC teams on the road in San Diego. But every now and then we would. But, yeah, dude, I mean, like Doug Williams.
Yeah.
Like the dudes that were in the league, Junior Seau, Derek Thomas at Kansas City, Marcus Allen with the Raiders before he moved to Kansas City, like legend, Eric Dickerson.
Ooh.
I mean, it was one of the most fun times to be a teenage football player and be a coach's kid, because I'd be goofing around in the offices at San Diego State with Sean Payton and Marshall Faulk and all these guys, and then on Sunday I'd get to roam around the sidelines for Chargers games.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Derek Thomas was one of my favorite players growing up.
Shit.
I mean, that guy.
He was a menace.
Yeah. So one of those teams, you caught the Super Bowl team, I think, didn't you? Because
which one? The Chargers team?
Yeah.
No, that was the 94 team. I was at Georgia Tech at that time.
Got it.
That was the Stan Humphries led, Bobby Ross coached Chargers team that played San Francisco that got Steve Young
smoked.
The Super Bowl. Yep.
Because Bobby had been at Georgia Tech, right?
Bobby left Georgia Tech after the 1991 season, and then he took Ralph Friedgen, George O'Leary, and I'm trying to think of a couple other guys that you would know that were on that staff to San Diego. Then George O'Leary gets rehired back at Georgia Tech my junior year by the head coach at that time, who was Bill Lewis. Bill Lewis ends up getting fired 7 weeks in, and that's how George O'Leary got the Georgia Tech job.
Wow. Okay. That's why I knew San Diego had gone to the Super Bowl, so you missed it by 1 year. You were already over at Georgia Tech. Tom Luganville on the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Okay, well, this is a perfect segue into the NFL draft. If Tom Luganville's a general manager and both these guys are on the board on Thursday night, who are you picking, Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Oh, God.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
For our listeners, Nabers is out of LSU, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Y'all remember his dad with Peyton Manning.
I probably have to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. And the reason why I say that is it is so rare to have a player of that size move the way he moves. You don't see that all the time. Like you saw it with AJ Green, you saw it with Julio Jones, right? But you don't, it's just rare. You don't find that combination of size, power, speed, explosiveness. Like sometimes those guys will have like the size and power, like an Alshon Jeffrey did, but don't necessarily have the speed and explosiveness. Or you'll find somebody that doesn't have the height, that's electrifying in terms of speed and explosiveness, but isn't the big target. that's why I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is so unique, because I think he checks all of those boxes, and it's hard to uncover any red flags on him. I don't know if I shared this with you before. It was interesting because Marvin was an Under Armour All-American for us, and Malik Nabers and Marvin both came to one of our Under Armour camps.
Okay.
And so what we did is we took a side-by-side. It's really interesting because it's just reflective of the process between being 15, 16 years old and then being 21 and 22 years old, and how different the developmental rate is for different players. So if you looked at Marvin Harrison Jr. and then you looked at Malik Nabers when they were juniors in high school, you wouldn't really even compare them. Like, it wasn't like Malik hadn't grown yet. He hadn't filled out. He was developing body coordination, where Marvin kind of already had a lot of that stuff. But when you physically look at him side by side and you didn't know who the two players were, you might guess that, okay, well, that guy was familiar. That's Marvin Harrison. But who in the heck is that? You wouldn't even know it was Malik Nabers.
Wow.
And that's how much he's grown and developed over the course of time.
Okay. So I see here where Daniel Jeremiah has Marvin Harrison Jr. as the second best prospect behind Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and I've heard that from a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people feel that way in terms of, like, the best overall player on the board. I know Brock Bauer, that name comes into that conversation.
Sure.
And then certainly, Marvin Harrison. But when you're saying that about a wide receiver, when there are so many receivers out there, that's a big statement, man. I mean, that is a huge, huge statement.
This is a deep, deep, deep wide receiver class going in.
Very much so.
Thursday, Friday. Bunch of them are going off Thursday and Friday. And then there'll be even more that teams will land on Saturday that can play. That's how deep the class is. He is Tom Luganbill with ESPN. He joins us on the Out of Bounds Show and the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. What did you think about Patrick Mahomes coming out of Texas? I mean, this guy is he's now already considered in the same right space with the GOATs of Montana and Brady and others. How did you see, Texas Tech wasn't any good. Kingsbury couldn't get it going. They were like 5-7 or 6-6. What was your assessment or evaluation of Mahomes going into the draft?
So it's interesting because I had two of his games his last year there, and you were right. They were so bad on defense that the offense could only do so much, right? And you watched him and you looked at him, and my vantage point would have been from the field at that time, and you saw this big, physically talented athlete that could throw the ball all over the place, could change arm angles. But here, I think, is the problem. And it wasn't his fault. He's a victim of history, and he's a victim of other examples. And that is, at that time, you could not name another player that had come from that offense, the true air raid, that has ever succeeded at the NFL level. None, not one. Right now you have him, you have to some degree Jared Goff. All right, he's got to call him a success out of that.
He's good.
You have mixed results with Baker Mayfield. We have mixed results with Kyler Murray. But if you really look at the history of that offense, you weren't necessarily going to stand on the table, because history had shown that playing in that scheme did not translate well to the National Football League level, which I think makes him even more impressive, even more, because his ability to adapt, process, the aptitude to transition from what has been a very overly simplified quarterback-friendly scheme to the National Football League has been, I think, a remarkable transition. And then I think, and I've said this on your show before, Bo, I think you've got to credit Andy Reid so much in this whole entire thing, because Andy Reid basically abandoned his entire background of the West Coast offense to build an offense around Patrick Mahomes. And when you watch Kansas City they look like a college team, right? So you're watching them and you're seeing, you know, all of the screen game, you're seeing the movement of the pocket, and you're seeing some, you know, wrinkles here and wrinkles there, and they're going fast and they're spreading people out and not complicated in the run game. I mean, that's a college offense, right? So
right.
Credit them for adapting. But projecting him to be the player that he's been, I think anybody who said that they felt that way is probably taking a little bit of false credit, because there wasn't really any history that would have led you to believe that the probability would weigh in your favor of making that assessment.
Yeah, and he redshirted. I mean, it's rare you get to do that this day and age, because maybe coaches want to do it, but once an owner gets a QB, he wants to show him to the fans. That's the way the NFL is. And
absolutely,
it's a new shiny toy. And it's kind of like their second jet. And so
look how many players, though, at the quarterback position that have benefited from that. Steve McNair.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers. Look at Jordan Love now, right? You know, sometimes it's kind of like the incoming highly touted freshman quarterback coming in. Everybody wants to play him right away. Well, just because he's physically gifted enough doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, and doesn't mean it's the best thing for that player.
Right.
And I think the same can be said at the NFL level too.
Yeah, guys that are thrown in year one and play well, pretty amazing to me, Luke's.
It's absolutely amazing. And you have to have so many things, Bo. You have to have so many things playing in your favor. I mean, you have to have the right people around.
A lot of maturity, mental stuff.
A lot of maturity. You got to have a ton of mental and emotional toughness. Because physically, guys are ready to play now. More so than they've ever been in the history of the sport. But that's not what determines your success early. And if you don't have good players around you and a scheme they can build around you and a great group up front, you're likely destined for failure, or you're destined to struggle. Then what happens is, can you emotionally and mentally overcome that?
Right. No, I think you nailed it. And the mental and emotional toughness thing, that's why Dak was successful, because of all he had to carry a team that was always an underdog. That's why he was able to step in with the Cowboys, Luke's, and play so well.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Garrett's not a good head coach, and you know, Linehan, I'm sure, knows football, but, Witten was well past his prime. Dez was right there on the edge past his prime, and he just figured it out. He didn't have a lot around him at Mississippi State. I mean, to win 13 games as a rookie, as a fourth rounder, and not sit one game is still insanity. Okay. So that tells me we want to go to, I had this question written down. I'll see where you go here, or if it's interesting to you. All right, Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. So, you know, J.J. McCarthy's getting the nod, although I'm kind of, I'm skeptical on all this, right? I mean, I just think so many times there's not a fingernail's worth of difference. And so many, they're all pretty good to good. And who knows what they'll be, you know, in the NFL. You hope that they'll have a good career. I mean, I'm not rooting against any of these guys. Why would I? But so Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, I'm taking out, you know, what they did on the field. He had a lot of help, but he played well. Nix had an unbelievable year. He's played more. Who do you like better and why? And what is the gap between Bo Nix out of Auburn and Oregon and J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan?
That's such a great question, and I got to imagine that GMs, scouts, coaches probably asked themselves, if we took Bo Nix and put him at Michigan and we took J.J. McCarthy and put him at Oregon, would they both have had the same outcome, right? The same level of success? Because to some degree, it's unfair to negatively look at J.J. McCarthy and use terms like can't when he wasn't necessarily given the opportunity. So when they say, well, he can't consistently throw it, you know, 25 times a game. Well, you don't know that. He did what he was asked to do, right? So if you took him and you put him at Oregon and you had him do the things, and he's clearly physically gifted, that you had Bo Nix do, and Bo Nix could do all of those things, but you put him in the Michigan offense, are we now going to say that Bo Nix can't do those things because he wasn't asked to? That's where I think it becomes a little bit unfair when we look at J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, this is what I'll say, and this is why I think guys like him, is because he didn't have those opportunities yet. They see tremendous growth potential for his game. Like they see a guy that has all the physical attributes, has very few, if any, red flags, certainly doesn't appear to have any off the field. And if you asked, and he's a really, really good athlete, that's the one thing. And actually, you could say that about Bo Nix too. Both of them are deceptively good athletes.
Right.
But that's where I think the NFL looks at J.J. McCarthy and they say, what if? Like, that's the question. What if this guy was asked to do this? What could the result be? And it excites them because they see the physical tools. And I think they try not to blame him for things he can't control. And I don't know. I think they're both in a position from a draft stock standpoint to be in a great spot because they're going to go a bit lower. Well, J.J. may not. I could see maybe Minnesota coming up and making a move there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but we're talking about these two guys. And to be honest with you, if the other guy in the conversation wasn't old and didn't have a significant injury background, we'd be talking about Michael Penix, and we'd probably be talking about him in the top three picks.
You're right. You're right, because the dude can flat out throw the football, and he's played a ton of ball. All right. Well, are you going to watch it Thursday night, or will you be traveling?
I'm actually traveling for a charity event, but yes, I will be watching it. I don't have a UFL game this weekend because of the event I've got to do, so I'll be checking it out. And by the way, check your cell phone. I just sent you that comp from high school between Neighbors and Harrison. You'll love it.
Oh, cool. I appreciate it, bud. Have a great week.
All right, man. You too.
Tom Luganville with ESPN on the Out of Bounds Show. He was a San Diego Charger ball boy, 91, 92, 93. The Out of Bounds Show is brought to you by Kinetic Staffing. Are you hiring? Your executive team, technology, attorney, CPA, financial. Do you need to add talent to your roster? KineticStaffing.com. That's KineticStaffing.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.